Hey, thank you so much for being here today. Christmas, it's Christmas. See a lot of faces that you haven't seen, but like two or three times this year because, you know, you're off to school or wherever. So I'm glad we got families back together. Hey, speaking of family, I wanted to introduce some people here. The Clarks are ready to place membership. Where are you guys? Okay, just wave your hands. Everybody clap for them. Okay, so we have Chris, Mary, Annie, and Kason. And I told him, I said, you want to come up to the stage? He said, no. And I said, can I bring the mic to you? He said, no. So talk to him after the service. Talk to her, meet them, and welcome this family into this family. This is a good day. Did y'all see last Sunday night? How many of you were able to come last Sunday night to the Christmas Eve? Okay, that was not Christmas Eve, Christmas musical. It was great. Look at that. We had some, I tell you, it was fun to see what these kids did, to see the spirit moving through this group of kids, and our room was transformed into Bethlehem. Is there another one there? Yeah, that's a little wide. It should be up and down, but I tell you, it was a beautiful experience, and if you were here, you can agree with me. If you want to see it, it's actually online. I don't know if we've posted the link yet, but it will be soon. So today we finish up our study on the Holy Spirit, this gift of the Holy Spirit. And granted, we've only scratched the surface. And I'm sure we've probably presented many more questions than we have answers, but that's okay. You know, this is what I love about this series is that people are having difficult conversations. People are asking difficult questions. And that's okay. I mean, if you can't ask the tough questions in the middle of your church family, where can you ask them? So I tell you, if you have more questions, I would love to have the conversation with you. The elders are always available for conversation. And if you would like, please let me know. So today we finish this up. We wrap it up in a nice little bow, hopefully. But before we do, let's pray together and ask that God would speak. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift that you've given us. Lord, as we gather around holiday tables this week, as we gather around your table right now, we thank you for giving us such a wonderful thing to remember. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son, Lord, in whose death, whose burial, whose resurrection has given us an even greater gift of your Spirit. Lord, we pray right now that you would speak, that you would move, that your Holy Spirit would come and rest upon this place. Pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching this flawed servant. Help people to hear the words you are trying to speak. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that is open to change into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Holy Spirit, as we know, is the gift that God gave us whenever he raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit is not an inactive gift, but rather is an advocate, a gift who wants to lead us. And as we've learned in this series, the Spirit gives us direction. Sometimes that direction leads us into uncomfortable places that we would rather not go. In those moments when Jesus was in the desert, I don't think he necessarily wanted to be there. But the Spirit led him there. And in those uncomfortable places, remember, God is trying to teach us how to trust him when things aren't quite going our way. So the question we asked is, are we allowing the Spirit to lead us, or are we doing our very best to lead the Spirit? We know that when the Spirit leads us, he will open our eyes to see things through his eyes. We know that God will allow us to see the world, not through eyes that are fearful. When the Spirit is working in us, we see the world through his eyes, and we reach out to people, even though they are the worst of us. God helps us see other people through the Spirit as opportunities to love and to practice hospitality. He doesn't see others as the enemy. Because we know that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. It's against the dark things, the powers of the dark world, the spiritual forces of the heavenly realms. And when we become a disciple, when we choose to follow, when we choose to follow Jesus Christ, when we imitate Him in baptism, when we give our lives to Him, God gives us an everlasting and eternal gift that has lasting and eternal consequences. And the gift is alive. And whether we know what to do with it or not, whether we think we understand it or not, it continues to work in us and through us, transforming us into living beings. That's what it says in Romans 8:11. It says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." The Holy Spirit gives life, and it is transforming us from the inside out. Isn't transformation really what we're all about? Isn't that what we're hoping for? To be different, to be more like Jesus? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." God is in the transformation business. And what I ask myself is, what does that transformation look like? I mean, we can sometimes see the end result, but what is that actual process? How does that happen? I have to say, this is one of those areas I can't explain it. I don't know how it works. It's a spiritual issue. God does His thing. The Spirit works inside of each and every one of us. But see, Paul, he talks about these two opposing sides of humanity. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in here for just a couple minutes. Paul talks about these two sides of a man. Maybe he calls it the flesh and then the spirit. Maybe we could say the spirit of man and the spirit of God. Maybe we can say both of those things. But Paul's talking about this conflict, and this is what he says. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The spirit of man, the flesh, results in death." What is that verse in Proverbs? "For the way of man, for there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads only to death." The spirit of man leads to death. The spirit of man will rot, given enough time. It goes on, the next few verses, to mention a life that is lived through the flesh. And I'll be honest, I didn't want to really read all those little descriptors with children in the room, because it's pretty obvious that the flesh leads to some dark things. It's self-indulgent. And when you look at the works of the flesh, it has very little to do with caring about other people. It's all about ourselves. But where the spirit of man produces death, results in a rotting decay, the spirit of God produces life. This is what I love. Paul had a very good way of looking at this, and he had an interesting way of promoting what this idea of growth looked like. Well, so whenever you see life in that particular time, even today, where else could you look except for something that is living? Fruit. We see fig trees back then. You see fruit trees. You see things, grapes, olives. If something is living, it's going to produce and reproduce and reproduce. The fruit is the reproduction of this tree. It's an entire orchard can be found in one little seed inside of an apple. That's amazing to me. life is about producing. So he uses this idea of fruit to say what the Spirit of God does. He says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The spirit of man results in death, but the Spirit of God gives life. And not just any life, life that can be enjoyed and seen. Life that can be reproduced." Just like this. Justin made mention of this. This is a very pretty fruit basket. How many of you have ever received one of these as a gift? Okay, these are not cheap, all I gotta say. But there's also some other things in here, but it's primarily fruit, and it is very, very pretty. The Spirit of God wants to produce beautiful fruit in us. Don't you think? And if we think about all these particular pieces of fruit here, the Spirit of God wants to create this in us. And if you think about those fruits, these things are representations of God at work in and among His people. The Spirit of God reaching out to others through the fruits of our spirit whenever He's transforming us. Reaching out to others through the body of Christ. So if you think about this, just as Jesus, when he walked the earth, as he expressed love, as he showed joy, as he shared peace, as he was kind and good and generous, as he was faithful and gentle, as he practiced self-control, God is still showing those fruits of the Spirit through the living body of Christ now, which is his church. He's still reaching out to the world through the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruit is what God wants to grow in us. But as we know, growth takes time. It takes cultivation, work. The ground has to be just so. And the elements could ruin your crop if you're not careful. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than we want. We're doing a community garden in the back, and it's going to take about a year for the ground to become fertile enough to grow anything sustainably. When I think about that, about how sometimes fruit takes a while to grow, I think I don't really want to wait. Especially in our culture, we can get things anytime we want and as quick as we want. Patience is not my strong suit. I've talked with people, and they really, really want to change. But they don't necessarily want to wait for it. I mean, we know if we're Christians, right? We're supposed to look like this. We're supposed to be bright and shiny. We're supposed to have fruit that people will see and crave, and that's what we're supposed to have. So what do? We do our best to look genuine. Sometimes we dress up really well in your daughter's gift of a Christmas bow tie that I've worn for 10 years now on Christmas. I'm bringing it back, by the way. Guys, you ready? No. We know what we're supposed to look like, and we do our very best to look like that. And it may not be genuine, but we try. We try. Because if you don't look right, then people are going to find out what we're really like. And when people really see us for who we are, things get a little messy, doesn't it? People find out we're not that loving. We're really not that gentle. Or thankful, we feel a little guilty because we really want to be seen as people who produce this kind of fruit. And sometimes I fall for it. I do. I want so badly to be patient or so badly to love and to sacrifice and to be faithful. But I don't really want I have a hard time praying for patience because you know why? God's going to say, okay, I'll help you be patient. I don't really want that. I'd rather just be patient without having to be patient. Hey, that's a tweetable quote. I mean, have you been there? If you ask that God makes you patient, get ready. Some things I struggle to pray for. But I want the Spirit to produce fruit in me. I want it. But what I need to remember and keep reminding myself is that sometimes the best fruit isn't always the prettiest. Over the last few years, Shelley and I have done our very best to eat a little bit more healthy. We've been concerned about what our family buys and puts into their bodies. We're trying to stay away from buying a lot of processed food in stores. We're trying to buy better, more healthy, organic. The world makes it very easy to eat poorly. And now the nutrition in our food as a whole of America gives us just enough nutrition to help us survive, but it's not necessarily good for us. So we have an ongoing argument, and Shelley has convinced me that every time you buy an organic piece of food or fruit or something, then you are voting for organic produce, healthier food in your store. Because, you know, the more people buy it, they're going to stock more of it. So she's convinced me. The downside, though, is that organic means more expensive. Not to say we don't enjoy a good chicken wing here and there, or donut, apple fritters, downfall. Liam may have organic fruit in his lunch kit, but he'll probably also have a Lunchable. Whew! Talk about sodium and process, but small moves, right? But we sacrifice and we pay more for certain things because it's healthy. But the problem is the good food, the organic food, it doesn't look as good as the regular food. Does it? You've seen it, right? It does not look as good. It doesn't. It's not processed. It's organic. It comes to us just as God made it. And doesn't look as good as the good stuff. For example, Honeycrisp apple. How many of you know what a Honeycrisp apple is? It's good, isn't it? This is one of my favorite. $4 a pound, not organic. But I tell you, it is sweet, and I've never tasted an apple that is better than this. But it is getting to the end of apple season, and it is still very big, very fat, and very juicy. And it is perfect, really. The organic apples, on the other hand, are a little different. I mean, these are two different types. This was manufactured by some college up there in the Northeast. And this is just a simple organic apple. Looks a little different. When I eat this, it'll taste good. When I eat this, you know, I'll know that it comes without the chemicals, without the pesticides, and without any genetically modification. This tastes good, but it may not be as good for me. I have to remind myself of that. Fruit of the Spirit may be something similar. Sometimes we try to manufacture it. And I think for me, sometimes I've done just enough to keep me surviving spiritually. And the Spirit is ready to give us life. It is ready to produce fruit in us. And I continue to ask myself, and I'm going to ask you, will we let Him? Because to produce this type of fruit may take a while. Could we let God do His work in us? And I know, sometimes I think, this is taking too long. I'm not as loving as I should. I'm not as patient. God has His work cut out for us. There are some people who have even stopped trying. They will look good, and they will be nice, but as far as inside, they're no different. Because in their head, they think, God couldn't possibly do anything with me. I'm too far gone. I don't measure up. And when they think of the fruit that God has made in them, it looks ugly in comparison to some other people. Not fit for display. Dieter Zander was a minister in the 80s and 90s. He was probably the very first minister of one of the very first young adult mega churches in America. Something happened. He has this gift, and he started a few churches, and they boomed. He went to Willow Creek up in Chicago, and they hired him to do something, and their ministry boomed. And he decided at age, I think it was 47, to move to the West Coast. He was going to start a brand new church. God was moving him out there. He was great. He is talented, a dynamic speaker. He was able to lead people in a moment like you wouldn't believe. Had a wife, three beautiful children, six-figure salary, well into a six-figure salary. And at age 47, he suffered a massive stroke. 47. Left him in a coma for like 6 weeks. He could no longer do the things he needed to do. He couldn't play the piano anymore. He couldn't sing. He couldn't speak, except a couple of words that didn't really go together. Couldn't do his job, so what happens? Years later, after leaving the ministry, he has found himself working nights at Trader Joe's. He's make sure that spoiled food is removed from the shelves. That's his job. Meat that doesn't look red enough. Bread that's barely out of expiration. Produce that may not look pretty. Or a little expired. But you see, what's so great is that these spoils aren't thrown away. He gathers them up and donates them to shelters all across his county. The spoiled food goes on to feed thousands of people who need it. Honestly, if you're hungry, fruit is fruit, isn't it? Food is food. Dieter Zander used to be great. He used to be eloquent. He used to be graceful, beautiful, perfect for display. And now God uses this spoiled man who can barely walk, barely speak, but has peace. He uses a spoiled man to feed the world one spoiled piece of produce at a time. Because what man considers good, what man considers spoiled, God has a different way of seeing that. He still has challenges, but he says in the midst of that, he has found happiness and contentment and peace. I believe this is where the Spirit does its best work, in the midst of our imperfections. Shelley can attest to the fact that I am not perfect. Whew. But what I do know is that when I struggle, when I succeed, when I fail, I know the peace that comes when you confess and when you repent, when you present your true self to God and to others. A simple person who follows Jesus Christ. And what God sees is immeasurably greater and more beautiful than what it is I see. So the question, do we spend our time trying to prove to people that we have it all together spiritually? Do we look down among those of us who are flawed? Do we arrange our lives just so that people can see the best of us? I don't know if you can see this, but there is a piece of fruit in the back that has a very dark spot, but it's in the back, right? And if you put it in the back, no one can tell. It's still pretty. Sometimes I do that. I put the worst of myself where no one can really see that side of me. Sometimes I do just enough to keep from failing spiritually. And I tell you, when we try to live into this unrealistic image of what it is we think a Christian's supposed to look like, this unrealistic image where we're trying so hard to stay and to do the certain things we're supposed to do, we become entrapped by that. It's like we have cellophane all wrapped around us. We may look okay, but no one will ever get in. And your fruit will never be able to bless anyone. The Spirit wants to produce fruit in us, but it may not look like it's like we think it should. So we see some produce is kept off the shelves because it doesn't look right. There's a fad now for ugly fruit. People want to see that. And what I think is interesting is when we look at ugly fruit, it still is a beautiful thing. We see how some may not look like everything else, but there's no difference in taste. There's no difference in anything. In fact, sometimes you might think that in the fruit that is grown in you, the oddities may make it a little beautiful. And one day you may not just be a piece of ugly fruit. You may be a work of art, naturally grown by God Himself. God is giving us a gift. This gift is the Holy Spirit. And if you accept, if you allow Him in, this gift will give you life. And it will transform you into something you never thought possible. My encouragement to you, to think about the gift God has given us. It started out as a small child, and it grew into a way. A way that is accessible to all. Because when we allow God to do His thing in us, when we allow His Spirit to work in us, then like Him, we become light, and that light will be a gift for mankind. Tonight, this is what we talk about in our Christmas candlelight service, the gift of light. I encourage you to come. Let the Spirit in. Listen. Let Him do His work in you. Don't be afraid. He wants to produce something beautiful in you. If you need to talk, if you have questions, I am always here. Our elders are always here and ready to have a conversation with you. If you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm here. We have water. It could happen today. What a Christmas, huh? Make your choice. God be with you.